You're listening to a podcast from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the message.
Hey, good morning. How are we doing? Doing good, doing good. Awesome, great Mosaic Metro. How are we doing? Yes. Thanks for helping them out. Hey, I'm so proud of them. I'm proud of Mosaic, this campus, and the other one too. But at Metro this weekend, they've got Charlotte Family Housing this month with them, and so we're going to be partnering with them. We already have, and then they're just kind of leading the way for this season as we go into What If Everyone season. I don't know if you guys know about What If Everyone. Anybody know? Anybody have ever heard of? Yes. If you're a visitor, you're thinking, what's going on? If you're just starting to come here. What If Everyone is a great weekend for us where we partner with organizations and we serve our community. And so Metro, you guys are leading the way. That's awesome. And we'll be collecting stuff here as well. A lot of cool things are happening. So thank you for being a part of that. Also, I got to mention before, I don't want to make you guys feel unimportant, but we have a live stream audience too, right? We've got live stream. In fact, we've got... I want to give a shout out today to the Witterman family, okay? Yes. They were on staff. They moved to the Netherlands. Seriously. But glad you're joining us, and then all over the world, glad you're a part. This is a great season. And also you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, what about us? You guys are amazing. You guys are amazing. Yes, yes. So we're going to get into our conversation. We're starting a brand new series called Relational Intelligence. Anybody want some of that?
Yeah.
Right? So did you know anyone who is not relationally intelligent? Don't point at, no, that's not even fair. That's not good. But yeah, we're going to be talking about that. But really quick, I want to mention something to you. Let me ask you this, though, actually. How many of you have ever been electrocuted? It's like, you're proud of it. You're like, yes, yes. I mean, I don't mean like lightning, you know, if you survived that. I'm just talking about like you were doing some stuff around the house. I mean, that's not the sound, but yeah. So it's not, I don't think that's the sound. So this past Labor Day weekend, my brother-in-law became my wife's hero because he replaced, stop it, calm down, okay? Yeah, he's not really a great guy anyways, but he's, no, fine. But anyways, so he replaced a light in the laundry room, the main light. And Ashley, my wife, would tell you that she didn't have light in the laundry room for about 2 years, which, that's a lie. The devil is a liar. That's not true, okay? That's not true. I jerry-rigged a lamp in there for her, for everybody, whatever, and she had light, so... I did. But he became the hero because he actually went up there and it was a whole lighting fixture. He took out all the circuits and wires and the screw. Whatever, man. He did magic, okay? He's into witchcraft, so I don't know what the problem is. Anyway, so he did that and he did it and it's all good. We have light and that's wonderful, beautiful. He's the hero. The reason why I did not do it is because, friends, I have gotten electrocuted a lot. And I just don't want to do that anymore, right? You know what I'm saying? I don't want to do that. So I stopped. And it's the whole it's the wiring that gets me into trouble. You know, I can change a light bulb. I mean, I can do that. Yes. But I can't rewire stuff and do things. But why am I talking about this? Because when it comes to relational intelligence, I think for some of us, you need a serious rewiring. Because things go really off when you're not really wired in correctly. Like your emotions that speak to your brain, that speak to your actions. I mean, if they're not wired correctly, your relationships will get electrocuted. Like some of us know that. Some of us, you have great relationships, and you know people who their relationships are terrible. They're actually they've burned people. They have electrocuted them. It's a bad situation, and there are there are some who are just doing an amazing job when it comes to relationships. Why is that? It's connected to rewiring, relearning some of the things that we've actually just grew up with. And so this series is really about that. And so it's about this, talking about the emotions that that drive us. It's about concepts that we wrestle with, but it's about the relationships that we really need to have. And if you've thought, yo, I come to church because I want to know more about the Bible. You know, I really want to know more about the Bible. And why are you talking about relationships and relational intelligence? And it just seems like it's not a church thing to do, and it's not like a Christian thing. And I just need more Bible. First of all, read your own Bible, okay? You do not need my help for that. Second of all, let's get really, really real. Isn't it true? I'll talk to this crowd right here. Isn't it true that some Christians, okay, make lousy human beings? You're not a part of this. Is that true? That's true. Metro, is it true? It's so true. It's so true. No one wants to talk about it, but they really, really do. Christians, actually Christianity, if it was a factory, it manufactures, it puts out lousy human beings. It just does. And no one wants to talk about it. And the reason is because for the majority, Christianity or churches don't talk about really being good human beings. Like being and reflecting the image of God. That's a thought. Woo! They just don't. And so this series is really about, hey, let's have deeper conversations about relationships. Because you know you can't do anything without relationships, right? If some of you guys are thinking, no, I can live without relationships. I can do that. I can do that. If you're on a live stream and you're like, you know what? I don't like relationships. That's why I live stream. Now, some of you, obviously, you can't make it. There's some issues. You're not even in the city. I get that. But if you're convinced that maybe you can live life without relationships or without people, you, my friend, my sister, my brother, you are in la-la land because it can't happen. You actually need me, and I need you. We need people. In fact, people drive you crazy, right? How many of you would say that people drive you crazy? But without them, you are crazy. Okay, let's think about it this way. If you're walking alone and you just by yourself laugh out loud, like crazy laugh, like, ha-ha, you're just, and then keep on walking and laugh again, and then laugh again. If other people see you, what is that? If you're alone, that's crazy. If you are with someone else, it's awesome. It's great. Let's just go with talking. If you're walking by yourself, talking to yourself, crazy, right? But if you're with someone else, it's all good. It's all good. How about dancing? Dancing. You see someone, you drive by, you see someone on the street dancing uncontrollably. You're like, first of all, that's awesome. Second of all, that's crazy because you'd never do it. But if you put a few more people with them, you're like, oh my gosh, it's a party. I got FOMO. I want to show up. I want to be a part of that. People, you need people. But problem with people is that not only do they make us crazy, but without them, we're crazy. And so what does it look like? And if there's something that we've learned in the past several years with our culture is that we, for some reason, don't know how to relate to each other. We don't know how to go past the things that divide us and really have meaningful conversations or meaningful debate, because for some reason we are not intelligent when it comes to being human or being in relationship. And for some of us, it's our marriages. It's like intense. You're better at friendships than you are at marriage for some reason. You don't know why. For others of you, you're better at like being a coworker than a friend. What's the deal? You and I know people who are not that intelligent when it comes to relationships. Truth is, we're not that as well. So what we're going to do, the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about all kinds of issues. And this morning, we're going to talk about this idea of self-awareness, being self-aware. What does it look like? What does it mean? Now I'm going to go a little deeper, but I want you to know something. This whole series is really about getting a little deeper. But when it comes to deeper things, I have to, there's no way I cannot, mention ICU Talks. And ICU Talks is an amazing ministry, but they're having a conference that's coming up Okay, if you can pick up one of these from the outside, it is coming up on the 15th Saturday, this coming Saturday, and it's from 9 to 3:30 p.m. You can register online at icutalks.com. Guys, this you need to be a part of, especially because it just talks about deeper issues and people who in your life who are not just they need more than just a pep talk. They need a lot of conversations about their brokenness and them being just healed and whole. And so, be a part of this. Sign up for this. Do yourself a favor. Do this. If you have marriage issues and you're thinking, I just wish that someone would fix her. First of all, stop saying that. Yeah, that's one way to fix everything. But the both of you might need to attend this. I mean, this is a big thing for our community in this fall. So there's a lot of things going on. So we're doing this. Also, let me just say that as we kick off this series, Relational Intelligence, we are kicking off our small groups. And so what we want to do is we want to have this conversation for the next 7 weeks, and we want all of us, if possible, to get into a group of some kind. What does that mean? That means that you can grab one of these. You all should have one of these. Did you have these? At Metro, you should have one of these as well, right? So these are a list of all the groups that you can be a part of. There are all kinds of groups that you can be a part of. You just got to email, text, or call the leader, find out locations, check them out. They're in different areas. You got Charlotte, North Charlotte, Huntersville, Lake Norman. Also, here on Wednesday nights, we got table groups going on. So there'll be people, and Pastor Brandon Berry, who's in the house. What's up? Hey. He's going to be leading these table groups here. So if you can't make it to a house, you can make it here on Wednesday nights. You can talk to him also on this campus. You can talk to him underneath the tent. But hey, guys, be a part of this, because let's not have conversations that are just one way. Let's have conversations that are together, and let's look at what's going on with our relationships. It affects everything we do. Also, we're just going all crazy on this. We also have these memory cards for you. So every week, every campus will get one of these things. So this week, you've got self-awareness, and you'll get this in the verse that's connected to it, because what we want you to do is we want you to immerse yourself in this conversation, and at the end of 7 or 8 weeks, I keep forgetting how long it is, but anyways, we want you to come out of it going, you know what, I have some tools, I'm aware of who I am, and I've got some relational I've got some tools that can really help me with all of my relationships. Okay? Does that make sense to everybody? Make sense? Make some noise if it does. Okay, good. Perfect. All right. This is this. Let's talk about being self-aware. Wow, that's a broad topic, right? Being self-aware. So our passage, okay, I'll just read from our from this card that you'll get. It's from Luke. It's the message translation, Luke 6, and it says this: here's a simple rule of thumb for behavior. Ask yourself what you want people to do for you, then grab the initiative and what? Do it for them. Do it for them. And the big thing here, though, is that we've heard this idea, we've heard the concept before in different translations, but I think the most interesting word here is this idea of yourself. The question is, do you know the self? Do you know yourself? Like you're like, not your, the self. So when it comes to self-awareness, do you actually know who yourself is? You see, the first level of self-awareness is this idea of like, well, I know a person who is unaware in meetings and how they come across, right? We all know that. We all know that. I was recently in a conversation with two women, and all of a sudden, in mid-conversation, one of the ladies goes, is there something on my forehead? And I'm like, why are we talking about? No. There's not. And then the other lady goes, oh, he does that. And I was like, what do I do? I mean, have you ever been in that moment where someone knows something about you that you don't know? It is, I hate it. No one likes that. You're like, what do I do? What do I do? He goes, he when he's in a conversation with you, he looks at your forehead. Have you ever had people tell you who you are, right, and what you do? And I'm like, no, I don't. And I'm like looking at her forehead. Like, I'm like, now I am looking at her forehead. now she messed me up. So now I'm like, and then I'm thinking, okay, I mean, that's not bad, right? And the whole time, this woman's like, what, is there something wrong? Do I have any grace? I'm like, no, you're fine. You're fine. It's me. It's not you. I had no idea. So I don't know if I've been in a conversation with you, but I'll do that. I'll look at your forehead. I don't know why. I'm like, I don't know why. I don't know. It's a good thing. It's just a forehead. So that's good, right? Just forehead. I'm looking at your forehead. Oh, my gosh. I hate it. But you know people like that. You do things like that. But then there are some people who do, I would say, hurtful things. And they're so unaware that when it comes to this kind of a truth of God's word, the circuits get like kind of messed up. Like a case in point, several years ago, Lucretia Barry was speaking here, one of our communicators, and it was in the summer, I was away, and this person in the middle of service started talking back to her, disagreeing with what she was talking about. And some of you guys might have been in the audience at that time, but he starts disagreeing, and this is the crazy. Like if you're in Metro, you can disagree with me, and you can start talking back. I'm not talking back to you because I can't hear you. But that's not fine. We'll think you're crazy. But anyways, but if you do it live in a live audience, and you start talking back and disagreeing, to the point of she had to stop and go, "Sir, I don't mean that." And I mean, now they're having a conversation. So this, it became like, and he became a little bit agitated, maybe even a little angry. And so now we have security on high alert. You know what I'm saying? We got security people, and by the way, we do. Our sniper almost took him out. I mean, we don't have, we might, you don't know, you don't know, you don't know. I'm Middle Eastern. So he does this. Everybody's on like on edge, right? If someone were to stand up and do something light right now, everybody would be on edge. And so he leaves, another guy follows. I mean, it became a thing. But it was settled. So how unaware was that person? Like when you think of his being self-aware, what is that? So it's one level is you do goofy things, or you do silly things. The other is I am so unaware of myself that I am going to do something that will make everyone else feel uncomfortable. Yeah. It's a whole different level. Does that make sense? It's a whole different level. And that actually points to the real self, what the scriptures talk about. You see, sometimes when you read the scriptures, you go, "Oh, these scriptures are just talking about a story," and they seem to be surface scriptures. At some points, you're like, "Oh, I mean, this is a cool story," but when you think about really what's going on in scripture, there's so much that the Bible is talking about the human spirit. Like the scriptures are telling so much more than what we read. It's telling us how we think, why we think what we think, why we shouldn't think what we think. I mean, it tells us so much more. It doesn't, it's like, hey, let me tell you how you're wired up. But sometimes what we do is we take the scriptures and we go, no, it is a roadmap. It is, I don't know if it's a roadmap, friends, but I'll tell you what, if you were a car, it's the manual that says this is how this thing is put together. Now, what you do and how you drive it and where you go is up to you. But this is how you're wired up. And sometimes the scriptures need to be looked at and paused in front of and thought, okay, what are we really saying here? And this cute little verse is not that cute when you think of it's challenging us to go, who are you? So self-awareness, when I talk about that, the conversation I want to have is, do you know who you are? Like, how do you define yourself? What motivates you? And not like, let's talk about all the goofy things you don't know that you do. No, it's not that conversation. You see, you can Google self-awareness and get a whole list of things. And in fact, I've got lists and I got references and I was going to show you a picture. I'm not going to do that because there's so many things you can learn from other people about things not to do in public. Okay, that's just a list. It's great. It's a great list. Okay? But I think we need to have a deeper conversation about, if you're going to be self-aware, then let's know yourself. And the reason why some of you cannot have deep relationships is because you're not comfortable with yourself. See, in life, at times, if you are not self-aware, you become self-conscious. And being self-conscious feeds into your insecurity. And then self-aware leads to like some kind of self-confidence. But you have to know who yourself is. And so many of us have never spent time with that. So this morning, really quick, what I want to do is I want to ask you, could you commit in this series to finding out yourself? And not what you, really thinking about, okay, who am I? Who do I say that I am? Who does God say that I am? Who really am I? How do I define myself? Because if you can answer that, then you can take care of all the other silly things like not looking at people's foreheads. You can actually move from that to not ever putting yourself in a place where you are so unaware that you're making so many people uncomfortable and you're in fact abusing your position, your place, your authority, or your influence. And sometimes parents, you're not self-aware, you are killing the creativity of your kids. You know this to be true because it happened to you. Others have used their power and their talent and their giftedness for so many other things than life because they've been unaware. And it's not like a silly unaware. No, they're not comfortable with who they are, so they need to suck all the air out of the room. They need all the attention always in the room. They just take it all. And end up having destructive relationships. And then meetings and conversations are always hard because one person acts like a 5-year-old when they're actually 55 years old. And you talk to another person and all of a sudden in a meeting, someone acts like a teenager or someone acts like I don't know what. And you're thinking, what are you doing? You're an adult. It's because there hasn't been a deep conversation about who am I? Or a pursuit, a journey towards finding out who you are and moving towards that. So that's kind of like the setup, okay, for this. So let's dive into a passage that I believe Jesus uses to give us a clue. And so it's found in Luke chapter 4, and it's the passage of Jesus being tempted by Satan. So let me read this to you. It says, then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. There he was tempted by the who? Devil for 40 days. Jesus ate nothing all that time and became very hungry. Then the devil came to him. If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become a loaf of bread. But Jesus told him, no, the scriptures say what? People what? People don't live by bread alone. Then the devil took him up and revealed to him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. I will give you the glory of all these kingdoms, authority over them, the devil said, because they are mine to give to anyone I please. I will give it all to you if you what? Worship me. Verse 8, Jesus replied, the scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and serve him. Only, serve him only. All right? It keeps on going, right? Then the devil took him up to Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, if you are the Son of God, if you're the Son of God, do what? Do what? Jump off, right? For the scripture says he will order his angels to protect you and guard you, and then they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even get hurt, your foot on a stone. I mean, he gets detailed here, okay? Then he says, Jesus responded. What did he say? He says, the scriptures also say you must not what? Test the Lord your God. All right, Metro, did you guys hear that? Now, here's what's interesting about all of this. Now, if you're watching online, and if you got your Bible with you, if you're looking at a different translation, the point of the story, there are several points in the story, but I think what they really point to is this idea of identity. First of all, the devil is basically saying this, and you might think, honestly, I don't have conversations with the devil a lot. I mean, I know people that I call the devil, but I just don't know. I don't do that. When I fast, the devil is pizza. It's not a person. Like, I don't know how to relate to that. Okay? So, like, if you can't relate to it, let's think about the thing that is coming against you right now. The thought, the emotion, the pressure in life. I do believe, though, that there is an enemy of your soul. There's an enemy of humanity that wants to kill, steal, and destroy. So there is a real presence out there that is trying to mess with us. So the first thing he does is this. He goes, make these, like you're hungry, right? Make these stones into what? Bread. What he's saying here is, Jesus, you are what you do. You are what you do. Can you do this? Hey, you can do this, right? You are what you do. You are what you do. The next thing he goes, I'll give you all these things. I'll give you all these things if you would just worship me, right? He says, because, you know why? Because you are what you have. You are what you have. And then he goes, hey, why don't you jump off? Show everyone what you can do. And Jesus goes, you know, I don't test the Lord your God. Basically, the enemy here, the devil is saying, you are what other people think of you. So if you would just jump off and show them that you can fly, they'll all believe. This idea of I am what I do, I am what I have, I am what other people think is so connected to the human story, isn't it? It comes down to the things we're actually tempted with when it comes to self, identity, worth, being comfortable in your own skin. It's always the challenge. There's always the tension of this. I don't know how long it continues. Like, I don't know if it starts pretty young and then it stops when you're like, I don't know, when you're 80 or something, or you're about to, pass away. I think the challenge is that at every stage of life, there's this pull towards, I am what people think of me. Right? I mean, that's why we had the rise of social media. That's why branding and platforming is in play, right? I am what people think of me. Or what about I am what I have, right? When you have things, you want to show it off, right? Or is it just me? Because it's a double thing. I have it, and then I also get you to think highly of me. I feel so great. Or I am what I do. I am what I do. And you and I have seen people, and we've experienced this ourselves, when things happen in life that disturb those things, it messes with us. Like when you lose your job and you lose a certain career, you're like, I'm done for. You lose your identity. You lose it. And we fall into depression sometimes. When you're married or you have a relationship and then you don't have one, what happens then? You lose your identity. You're like, my identity was wrapped up in being a wife. No, I'm not. So I don't even know what that, like, my identity was wrapped up in being engaged, and I'm not. I mean, I'm not giving the ring back, but I'm not. Like, what? How does that work? And then this idea of people thinking about you, and that, I mean, it's so tough, right? Then you have to manage everything you do. And I don't know where you fall. I just admit this, I fall in the whole what other things other people think of me. I just do. And I'm trying to get better, but I struggle with that. I struggle with that a lot, partly because I'm an immigrant and I needed to fit in, and or at least I felt I needed to fit in. And so, you know, I would be a chameleon. I would hang out with a certain group, and I'm like, hey, I'm just like you. And, you know, please, I'm just like you. You know, and I go somewhere else, and I'm just like you. I'm just like you. And then there, I think about 5 or 7 years into being in the States, I thought, I don't know who I am. I'm not quite sure who I am. And I will tell you this, just recently I've been comfortable with just like, I'm just going to be who I am, man. Because when I got into being a pastor and then being a church planter and having my own church, and then like no one even now believes I'm a pastor, you know, I've had to let go of that and go, you know what, that's fine. I don't care what you think. I don't care, but that doesn't give me identity. That doesn't give me identity. And if it does, friends, if what you do and what you have and what other people think of you gives you yourself, then you are losing yourself. And I love what Augustine said, St. Augustine. He says, it's so hard to draw close to God when you're so far from self. And for some of us, that's the problem. You don't even know how to relate. Because who do I look like when I become a Christian? Like, what is that? Like him? No. Like her? I don't think so. No, I'm not that perfect. How? What do I even become? So, now, this morning's conversation is not a lot of answers. It's not. There are a lot of questions. So you're like, okay, and the answer is, I don't know. Only you know. Because it's about you and yourself. It's yourself. I will give you a clue, because God gives us a clue on what it needs to be. Okay, it needs to be. And so for us to find this out, you go to the same passage, but you go to the chapter right before it. And right before it, and I've talked about this before, this is Jesus being baptized. So if you don't know the story, Jesus gets baptized first. So when he starts his ministry, one of the first things he does is he gets baptized before he does any major miracles, anything. And then he starts his thing. So when he gets baptized, John baptizes him, and it's kind of a big deal. And, you know, if you know the story, there is a supernatural event that takes place. You got, you know, the dove showing up, and he comes out of the water. I think there was a haze machine. I'm not quite sure. There was music playing. I don't know. You weren't there. Anyway, so, but there's a voice from heaven that speaks. And all of the Gospels, so the Gospels are accounts of Jesus that people have written down. So they write this down, and they said this. So this is the account. Okay, let me read it to you. The account is in Luke chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. One day when the crowds were being baptized, Jesus himself was baptized. As he was praying, the heavens opened up, verse 22, and the Holy Spirit in bodily form descended on him like a dove. And, can you say and? And a voice from heaven said, so a voice from heaven said, people heard it. It wasn't like Jesus heard it and told people. No, people heard it. And here's what it said. It said what? Let's read this out loud. Metro, live stream, let's read this out loud. Okay, this is what it said. 1, 2, 3. You are my dearly loved son, and you bring me joy. Wow. So Jesus is having a moment. He's praying, and all of a sudden, God doesn't talk to him like through him, and he just starts talking, and he goes, hey, I love you. Could you imagine the moment of embarrassment of Jesus? Like, seriously, you're doing this? Like, I got it. Okay. I haven't even done anything. Psst. You make me so happy! Like, this is God interrupting the world and saying, you are my dearly loved son. Jesus was like, dude, we know this. Like, you sent me here. Like, you got, he wants the world to know, right? You are my dearly loved son, and you bring me great joy. What God just did there was he gave him a clue to who his self was. Who do you say that I am? Before anyone else tells you anything, before you go, because when this moment passes, you're going to go in the desert, and then the devil is going to come and give you all kinds of temptations, and he's going to tempt you by presenting you things that should, or he thinks that should define who you are, like what you do and what you have and what people think. Before anything like that happens, I just want you to know, let me just tell you right now who you are. You are my dearly loved son, and you bring me great joy. Could you imagine if all of humanity could hear that? If you would have heard that, right? Growing up. But what we've heard, though, is the same narrative that's been perpetuated because of the world we live in. Hey, go out there and what? Make us proud, because right now you're not doing it. That's what it implies. Do something. Do something. Hey, be someone. Be someone, because if people think highly of you, you actually are someone. Do something. Hey, make things happen. Have some stuff. We've heard this again and again and again, and it's corrupted ourselves. Because we're like, oh, I have to, I have to, I have to, I have to. So we're not self-aware. We are self-conscious. And we're insecure. That's why we struggle with most of the things we struggle with, is because of that. So what if we change that? What if we change that? What if we said, okay, hey, I don't need to be all those. I can find myself and my worth in this idea that I'm a dearly loved son and daughter, and I bring God great joy. What if it was possible for you to go, hey, I'm okay with the fact that I was uniquely created to be in a relationship with God himself. And before I do anything else, I give him so much joy. Do you know what God wants? You know his best present? You want to make his Christmas? You know what I'm saying? It's you. It's just you. Unapologetically you. Fully honest, authentic, not pretending, not fronting, you. That's it. He just wants you. And some of us have never gone to the cross. You've never prayed a real prayer, because you've been taught how to come to God. You have to promise him what you're going to do. Right? I'll do this. Da, da, da. You're going to promise him how you'll come across. You'll promise him what you're going to do for him. You're going to promise him what you will achieve for him. You're going to promise, you're going to make these things. You got to promise him all the things you're going to repent from, all these things. You've never had a real self and God conversation with God. So yourself, are you self-aware? No, you're just self-conscious. And that's why, friends, that's why so many Christians make lousy human beings. That's why. It's not because they're lousy people. They've never known self. They don't even know. So, let me give you a really practical point before we end. So what do, right? For some of us, we go, okay, well, I gotta go. Why do I do what I do? Why do I do what I do? You might want to journey in that. Like, you got to reflect in discovering who you are and why do you do the things you do. But you don't want to get stuck in why, and you don't want to get stuck in also how. How do I you know, how do I figure this out? And how do I go back and look at my past and my childhood and how? No. I want you to be consumed with the word what. Like, what do you do now? Like, what do you do now? Not why you do it, because you can go back to your childhood, and it's good to do that. I don't want you to get stuck there. I want you to answer all those questions. But what are you going to do now? See, the scriptures do not need to be kind of like a bio for you. Some of you, man, you have to stop just reading the scriptures and go, oh yeah, I'm loved, I'm a child of God, yada yada. Stop it. That's not it. There's a deeper conversation you need to have. Let me show you something really quick. Okay, this is in the book of Acts, and these people who are encountering a demon. Okay, so here's what happens. So these guys try to kind of remove a demon, right? It says here, but one time when they tried, the evil spirit replied. Okay, this is what they replied. I know Jesus. I know Paul. But what? But who are you? Then the man with the evil spirit leaped on them, overpowered them, attacked them with such violence that they fled the house naked and battered. Bad day. You go out to remove a demon, you walk out naked, that's a bad day. So this evil spirit says, hey, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Who are you? And we attack and come against our insecurities, our demons, our inner dragons, our outer dragons, our inner demons, all the things we face, and those problems and fears and insecurities and depression, you know what they're saying? Who are you? We know God. We know Jesus. We know his power. Who are you? And these guys couldn't answer it. And the reason why some of us are being defeated daily is because we don't know who we are. We have read about it. It's not enough. We know people who say things about us that might be true. But your problem and your pain and your issue and your struggle and your demon is shouting out, I know all these other people, but who are you? When you find out who you are and you're comfortable with who you are, you all of a sudden get the authority that comes with being God's kid. Not reading about it, but knowing it. It might be the secret for you actually winning in relationships and in life. Let me pray for us. Lord God, I thank you so much for this conversation. And not just this one, but for the weeks to come. I thank you, God, that we are committed to knowing who you want us to be. But it starts with us realizing who we are. I pray, God, that regardless where we are, that we would begin a search. We would begin a conversation. We in ourselves, with ourselves. God, there are so many people that are not comfortable with who they are. They're not comfortable with their self. It's the scariest thing for them to be alone. Because for some of us, it's so scary to be alone with our thoughts, alone with our feelings. But God, I pray that we will become the most self-aware people as we are people who are comfortable with ourself, that we are aware of ourself. We know who we are, that we would raise kids and we would inspire others to know who they are and to commit their lives to being their real, authentic self, to discovering that and not living anyone else's life. God, I pray for that. I pray, God, that as we respond in this song, which is such a powerful song, God, we will be reminded, Lord God, that this idea of us being your kids, this idea of us being wrapped in unconditional love is not a cute story. It is the truth. It is the anchor of our soul. It is what everything in this world rests on. It is your love that has created all the heavens and all the earth, all the universes. It's you. And so, God, we want to tap into that. God, as we go to the cross, as we light a candle, as we receive communion, God, do in us, begin in us a work. I pray.
Thanks for listening to this message from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv.